Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Narada said, "My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always ready to help you. He is your master, guru, God, very dear friend, and head of your family. Yet sometimes he agrees to act as your servant or order carrier. You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is only possible by bhakti yoga. The Lord can give liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not give one bhakti yoga because by that process he is bound to the devotee." Everyone can please repeat. The great sage Narada said, "My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always ready to help you. He is your master, guru, God, very dear friend, and head of your family. Yet sometimes he agrees to act as your servant or order carrier. You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is only possible by bhakti yoga. The Lord can give liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not give one bhakti yoga because by that process he is bound to the devotee." Purport. This passage is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. While Shukadeva Goswami was describing the character of Vishabhdeva, he distinguished between bhakti yoga and liberation by reciting this verse. In relationship with the Yadus and the Pandavas, the Lord acted sometimes as their master, sometimes as their advisor, sometimes as their friend, sometimes as the head of their family, and sometimes even as their servant. Krishna once had to carry out an order of Yudhisthira's by carrying a letter he had written to Duryodhana regarding peace negotiations. Similarly, he also became the charioteer of Arjuna. This illustrates that in bhakti yoga, there is a relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotee. Such a relationship is established in the transcendental mellows known as Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, and Madhurya. If a devotee wants simple liberation, he gets it very easily from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Bilva Mangala Thakur, "Mukti Swayam Mukulitang Jali Sevatisma." For a devotee, mukti is not very important, because mukti is always standing on his doorstep, waiting to serve him in some way. A devotee, therefore, must be attracted by the behavior of the inhabitants of Vrindavan who live in a relationship with Krishna. The land, water, cows, trees, and flowers serve Krishna in Shantaras. Krishna's servants serve Krishna in Dasyaras. Krishna's cowherd friends serve him in Sakyaras. Similarly, the elderly gopis and gopas serve Krishna as father and mother, uncle and other relatives. And the gopis, the young girls, serve Krishna in conjugal love. Omagyana timarandasya gananjana sharakaya chakshurum militam yenatas mahasri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata mahyam dadati svaha padantikam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Devishesha Shunyavati Pastyatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, there's more to the purport, but I just stopped here to make some points before I forget about them. No, so Kali Yuga, very easy to forget. So it says here that in relation to the Yadus, because this is a verse, as Srila Prabhupada explains, but from the fifth canto, sixth chapter, 18th verse of the Bhagavatam. And in this particular part of the Bhagavatam, this is just after the disappearance of Lord Rishabhdev. So Lord Rishabhdev came in the line of Priyavrata. No. Srila Prabhupada mentions there that this is a very glorious line of kings and leaders. And so he might have thought that at this point Parikshit Maharaj might feel a little left out. No. Because he was part of the Kuru dynasty. So, the Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, but not in the Kuru dynasty. He appeared in the dynasty of Priyavrata. He appeared in the dynasty of Puru. He appeared in the dynasty of Raghu. No. But not in the Kuru dynasty. So just to assure him, he said, "You Kurus, you Pandavas, look how fortunate you are. No. That you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes, no, that he's acting in all these ways, no, Priya Kulapati, protecting your dynasty, sometimes as a friend, no, sometimes as a master, sometimes as a spiritual master, sometimes as a very dear friend, sometimes as the head of the family, and sometimes Kingara, as the messenger." Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Krishna agreed to be the messenger of Yudhishthira. No, peace negotiations. Nowadays, people try to also employ God as their messenger in peace negotiations. They say, "Dear Lord, bless us. God bless America. God bless the United Kingdom. God bless here." I don't know. Prabhupada said one time that the thief, when he's going to rob a house, he will say, "Oh Lord, please allow me to steal very safely from this house." No. And then the master, the owner of the house, is saying, "Oh my Lord, please protect my house." No. So Krishna, he will take the whoever is more fervent in their prayer. No, Krishna will help that person. So, one type of person is praying to Krishna, "Please be our messenger. Please give us peace." No. Arjuna tried to do that in Bhagavad Gita. "I want peace, my Lord. I'm praying for peace." And he gave all kinds of arguments. Krishna rejected it. No. Because he was trying to negotiate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Yudhishthira, because of Yudhishthira's position in this particular instance. Now, of course, Arjuna is more dear in one sense than even Yudhishthira. He's the closest among all the Pandavas. He's the closest to Krishna. No. And so, but he didn't favor Arjuna's arguments, but he favored Yudhishthira. No. Because in that case, Krishna was very happy to be the order carrier of his devotee. Also, when Bhishma was dying on the bed of arrows, he said something very similar. No. He said, you Pandavas don't realize how fortunate you are. Because he was speaking about how they had suffered so much. You know, the Pandavas had suffered so much, and their exile, and all everything that they had to go through, everything that they were involved in. They were so apparently suffering so much, but he said, on the other hand, do you realize, no, that Priya Mitram Surhitamam, that Lord Krishna was Matulayam, he was your maternal cousin? No. How many people have Krishna as their cousin? No. And he was Priyam Mitram, the most dear friend to you, and your best well-wisher. And Sachibam, he was your counselor. He always gave you good advice. He always appeared when there was some distress, like Draupadi, when Durvasa Muni came with his army of disciples, who was actually sent there by Duryodhana. Duryodhana was thinking, the Pandavas, somehow or another he had located them. And so he said, Durvasa Muni, you know, the Pandavas would really love to receive you. You know, he received him very nicely, pleased him very much. But it wasn't with a pure motive of pleasing Durvasa Muni. His motive was, first of all, Durvasa Muni could probably burn me to ashes if I don't please him. No. And secondly, so he's thinking about self-preservation. And secondly, if I please him very nicely, and then he goes and sees the Pandavas, and they have no facility, then he'll certainly finish them off. You know? And Krishna won't be able to do anything. So Durvasa Muni went, and Draupadi had just finished serving everything. Serving everything out of her magical pot. And once it's served, it doesn't fill up again. Once everybody finishes, till the next day. So she was in such anxiety. Durvasa Muni had come, and they went to bathe in the river. And Draupadi, think, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Yudhishthira was thinking, maybe we should just run away. And, you know, then everybody else said, no, but then he'll just curse us. And his curse is not subject to distance, no. Otherwise, he can get us from anywhere, no. And so then Krishna appeared on the scene, no, as a well-wisher, no. And he said, just bring me your pot. And he found one little piece, and he took that. And then all of a sudden, Durvasa Muni, all his disciples, they felt so full. Oh, what's going on? And they thought, we better not go to the Pandavas because we couldn't eat anything. They probably prepared this huge feast for us. No, we'll just go somewhere else. No, we'll send a message later. Something happened. No, we don't want to insult them. So Krishna, taking so much surittamam, so well-wisher of the Pandavas, counselor, no, always showing up at the right time to tell them what to do. No. And Dutam, their messenger. And he was also Suridharata Saratim. And he even became the charioteer of Arjuna. So this is the merciful Supreme Lord. And this is what's being said here. Yes, all of these other people, by seminal arrangement, they're coming in some very auspicious line. But you don't even have that arrangement, and Krishna's favoring you so much. So this is also applicable in lines of spiritual authority, that there's the people who have direct diksha from someone else in the lines, but in our sampradaya, even shiksha, many of our great acharyas, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, they were not initiated by the acharya that they're representing, but they were shiksha disciples. So this is the same basic principle here. The principle of becoming endeared to the Lord. You become very dear to the Lord by offering service. Not just by some official position or some official action, but by becoming very dear to Krishna. So, Shukadeva Goswami is saying this to Pariksit Maharaj. He's thinking, you may be feeling like this, but just see how fortunate you are. Who could be more fortunate than your predecessors? And you're coming in that line. So therefore, you're inheriting even a deeper relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. And so going back to the first verse, I just thought of something as we read it. No, the verse number 18. If devotee wants material sense gratification or liberation from the Lord, Krishna immediately delivers it. But pure devotional service, he keeps hidden. So, also in the fifth canto, the demigods are praying to Krishna and to Vishnu, actually. But we say Krishna. So they're, in their prayer, they say, my dear Lord, you want to satisfy the desire of your devotees. Otherwise, Krishna is very happy to satisfy anyone's desire. Now, if we're on the pure devotional platform, then he will satisfy our desire to please him and to serve him by giving us the opportunity. And giving us, if we're not quite there, but we're aspiring for that, which is what we discussed a little bit yesterday, he will give us the necessary lessons in life to bring us to that platform. He may deprive us of what we think we want, because we don't know what we want. We know we want to serve Krishna, but then we mix that up with something else. So Krishna will very yasyaham anugrinami harisye tad dharam shanai. Then he may take away, by his very great, for this was Srila Prabhupada's feeling with his Guru Maharaj. He said, my Guru Maharaj has appeared in dreams, but very horrible dreams, nightmares. They were great nightmares because he was telling me to take sannyas. What will I do? My children are so dear, they're young, they need me. Who will cook for me? Prabhupada was thinking that. He's Prabhupada, but by Krishna's arrangement, he's thinking like that. And then, but then, he had that dream again and again, and he realized that Krishna is bringing me. Then Krishna took away his business. He thought he was supposed to be the richest man in the world. Then he took away his business, took away everything. And then he even took away his family. And he was very grateful. So, of course, this is an example. This is not something that we, think that Prabhupada needed that. But Prabhupada was put in that position to help us understand that we need this. We need this special mercy. And how do we get it? By what we spoke about yesterday, intense desire to serve Krishna. That intense desire can manifest at any stage in devotional service. And then Krishna will reciprocate with us proportionately according to the need. So that, how does that intense desire come about? By association. By taking the association of Vaishnavas. Especially, that's why the recommendation is there again and again, that whenever we have the chance to associate with superior Vaishnavas, we should do so. Because that will make us aspire for pure devotional service. That humble service, in the verse that we read, it's mentioned that Narada Muni, that's how he got the opportunity to enter into pure devotional service. Because he served the Bhakti Vedantas. So we also have the opportunity to serve the Bhakti Vedanta, the highest Bhakti Vedanta, Srila Prabhupada. And by doing that service, serving his mission, which is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will have the opportunity to advance. So, Srila Prabhupada also mentions here in his purport, which we just read, that, I was just going back to that point just to finish it. So Krishna can give something very easily. So the demigods say that he can give liberation very easily, you know? And or he can give any material desire, and he wants to satisfy the desire of his devotees. But if he sees that that desire will again bring the devotees into the wheel of samsara, then he offers them instead his lotus feet on their head, even though they don't want it. No. He's so kind. No. So this is Krishna's position. Krishna's not interested in giving people material things. But if they want something material and they worship him, akama sarva kama va moksha kamu dharaditi divrena bhakti yogena, if they, even having material desires or desires for liberation or any kind of desire, if they want, no, if they want to serve him, tibrena bhakti yogena, showing Krishna by performing devotional service very enthusiastically, then Krishna will give them his lotus feet. He'll give them whatever it takes to bring them closer to his devotional service. So then this verse is revealing something very, very wonderful about Krishna. Because he says in this verse that we just read, he becomes the servant of his devotee, the order carrier of his devotee, the charioteer of his devotee. Or in other words, Srila Prabhupada summarized that by saying, he is bound to the devotee. Lord Brahma, when he was praying to Lord Krishna after the Brahma Mohana Lila, then he said one prayer where at the end he says, Yat praya sho anjito chitapstai strilokyam, that, my dear Lord, if someone serves you by always hearing about your glories and even remaining steady in his grihastha life or whatever position he may be in, but dedicates himself to glorifying you and serving you with his heart and his words and his mind, then you, even though you are unconquerable in the three worlds, you are conquered by that devotee. That devotee can easily conquer you. When Durvasa Muni went to Lord Vishnu after appealing to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva that please do something, take away this Sudarshan chakra. Then he came to Lord Vishnu and he said, this is your chakra, take it away. And I'm sorry, I also can't do it. No. Because my devotee is aham bhakta paradhino. I am under the control of my devotee. No. He is. And why am I under the control of my devotee? Because even when they have liberation, Srila Prabhupada speaks in purport here about liberation, even when they have the possibility of being liberated, they don't take it. They're not interested. Now, in this verse that we just read from the Bhagavatam, the previous verse to that in verse number 17 in the fifth canto, sixth chapter. It says that devotional service is so glorious and is so happily performed, just like Krishna said, suk sukam kartum abhyayam. It's eternal. It's not just flickering happiness of this world, which is the happiness we're accustomed to. You know, you work hard all week long or all day long and you get some happiness, some material happiness at night, sometimes. And you work all week long, you get some material happiness on the weekend. You work all year long, you get your vacation time. Little material happiness. When I was doing Sankirtan in the U.S. in Florida, they have a place on the border, I don't know if they still have it, but they used to, where you drive in the welcome station, they give you orange juice. This is the sunshine state. So they give you a free glass of orange juice. And so we would do Sankirtan, and we would do it on that side. It was very easy to distribute books. Everybody had a lot of money. They were thinking, now we're going to enjoy. You know? So, but then, you know, there was four of us, so two of us had to do the exit. And the exit was very difficult. You know? But actually it turned out to be just as easy because everyone was sunburned, no money, have to go back to work, have to go back to school, you know, and they would be dejected. And so I would say, this book will cheer you up, you know, this book will bring back that exhilaration that you were just feeling on your vacation. That's what it's made for, you know. And I found that was a little effective, but it was still better on the other side because they had money, you know. So this is material happiness. But Krishna says spiritual happiness is eternal, and bhakti yoga must be performed that way. So Shukadeva Goswami says to Pariksit Maharaj that devotional service is so wonderful, it's so pleasing, that because they're talking about the example of Rishabhdev, how Rishabhdev, who by his sacrifices and austerities and having given up performing such severe austerities, he gave up all attachment and all attraction for fruitive activities. So, because he did that, he should have been endowed with all mystical powers. Because when one totally renounces the desire for fruitive activities, then one is given mystical powers, if one really renounces them. But he also rejected mystical powers. He wasn't interested. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, this is a devotee. A devotee is happy just by serving Krishna. A devotee simply wants to know what Krishna desires. And then, that I will do. And that will make me happy. And that will... he's not even looking for happiness. He's looking for Krishna's happiness. But he takes that happiness and has to accept it. Krishna gives it to him. When Lord Nrsimhadev was speaking to Prahlad Maharaj, similar instance, he wanted to give some blessing, some benediction. And Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear Lord, I'm not here to do business with you. No. I didn't say some prayers to get something from you. I simply wanted to offer them. Please don't put me in the position of demanding something from you. And the Lord says, no, you must ask for something. Then liberate my father. That's already done. You have to ask for something. And he said, my Lord, just give me pure devotional service, life after life. That's all I want. No. And then the Lord said, in any case, I'm going to give you material happiness. And that way you can burn up all your pious activities. No. You've done so many pious activities, you don't want to stay here in this material world. No. So I'll give you happiness. So Krishna wants to give his devotee happiness. No. But we just have to know how to use it. Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport in Bhagavad Gita, how do you use material happiness? No. He gives a very nice explanation. A devotee thinks that I don't deserve this, but Krishna is giving me the opportunity to have favorable circumstances to perform more service. I've got some facility, got some money, got some intelligence, got some... Let me use it in Krishna's service. No. And if Krishna gives us suffering, then we think, I deserve so much more. But he's just giving me this little tiny bit. Just enough. Just enough to convince me that I should not stay in this material world. Just that much. No. And so he's so kind. So this is how a devotee thinks. But Krishna wants to make his devotee happy. Krishna wants to make his devotee successful. But also, when a devotee is very pure, like Srila Prabhupada, like all the topmost Mahabhagavats of the Lord who appeared in the pages of Bhagavatam, Krishna uses them as an example because they're so pure and they're so attached to his devotional service. They're willing to undergo anything. And so to show others like us that sometimes you have to undergo a little bit of difficulty to qualify for becoming an intimate associate of the Lord is not some cheap thing. So he takes his pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and creates a difficult circumstance in his life. You know? And so many devotees, like Dhruva Maharaj, you know? He got rejected by his father. And I mean, this was like way back in Satya Yuga. You know? I mean, this was like, you know, Father was like, you know, the Supreme Lord. Like nowadays, Father rejects you, probably think, most people would think, okay, now I can go do what I want. You know? But in those days, you know, Father was, I mean, even in India still there's some respect, although it's diminishing. You know? But, so to be rejected by your father was like, and your stepmother being the cause of it, it was infuriated. So he did penances and austerities to the point where the demigods, the whole universal order was disturbed. And they prayed to the Lord, please do something. And the Lord appeared before him. And Dhruva saw the Lord, his beauty and his munificence and his magnanimity. He couldn't even speak. The Lord said, so say something. Couldn't speak, so he touched his head with the conch shell and he began to glorify the Lord. And the Lord told him also, so now what blessing do you want? And he said, no, I don't want any blessing. No. Stan ha bilasi tapasi stitoham. That before I wanted the biggest position possible, but tvam praptavam. Muni Devendra Guyam. But now, by your mercy, by your, you're so merciful, I have achieved that which even great sages and great demigods and great personalities are deprived of, or they cannot achieve. No. And I was, Kachan Bachin Van Napi Divya Ratnam. I was looking for broken glass, and you have given me this priceless jewel of your transcendental devotional service. Therefore, Swaming Kritarto, now I don't want anything, no, that any kind of blessing. I just want your devotional service. So this is the power of Krishna. Sometimes he puts us in a little difficult situation, or he puts his pure devotee in a difficult situation. And certainly Srila Prabhupada's difficult situation is more difficult than ours. Like somebody may have said something we didn't like, or, you know, some manager did something that we didn't quite agree with. But Prabhupada, for years and years, he was trying to preach and no one would listen. He had the topmost message. He was the topmost devotee. He was, you know, starting with Mahatma Gandhi and the president of India and every, you know, they'd all receive him and smile at him and say, yes, Swamiji. Yes, very nice, but no success. And then he came to the U.S. and still no success. No. He was even going to go to Trinidad. No. First, before he was going to the U.S., he was planning to go to Trinidad. It was a stepping stone. And then, then he said, no, he was writing letters to them and he said, no, they wanted to control me, therefore I decided not to go. They wanted to use me as a showpiece. Let's bring a Swami from India, put him, you know, like a puppet or something, you know. Swami on a stick, you know, that show him off and he can say some nice things and then that'll bring money into our organization. So Prabhupada didn't accept. And then he came to America, he also, no success, and he was ready to leave, you know. And then as he was walking back, checking one time checking, when is the boat coming? I guess I'm not qualified, you know, such humility. I guess I'm not qualified. Krishna, I misunderstood what he wanted. And then he met the first devotees. And then Krishna gave him all success. But so much struggle. No. So our little struggles, our little difficulties that we have to undergo in our devotional life is nothing. No, nothing. And so here, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he's speaking about these wonderful relationships in the four principal relationships which we find in Vrindavan. Immediately, although what's being spoken about here, no, Rishabhdev and everything related to that, is speaking about Lord Vishnu, Srila Prabhupada immediately relates it to Krishna. And these rasas, although he doesn't mention Shantaras, he mentions it in the last part of his what we read in the purport, that the Shantaras is experienced by so many devotees. The land, the water, the cows, the trees, the flowers, they serve Krishna and Shantaras. Just like, you know, in an hour and a half, we will go and celebrate the cows. They're in Shantaras. But when you're in Shantaras in Vrindavan, it's not pure Shantaras. Pure Shantaras basically is impersonal perception. But Shantaras in devotional service means it's mixed with service. But that the Lord is so munificent, so wonderful, that sentiment of just admiring the Lord and offering some prayers and offering respect, it becomes predominant. So these devotees, so the cows, because the cows are so overwhelmed by Krishna's kindness. The cow is so dear to Krishna that Krishna gives the cow so much affection that the cow cannot but look at Krishna in Shantaras, admiring Krishna's kindness and mercy upon them. They are so wonderful. They're so dear to Krishna. Sometimes when someone becomes very dear to Krishna, just like we spoke of Dhruva Maharaj or even Prahlad Maharaj, when the Lord showed him so much mercy just by touching his head, he was just overwhelmed. He couldn't speak. He couldn't even glorify it until he touched him and then imbued him with the Shakti. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains very interesting that to be able to offer proper prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be able to do that, you have to actually be empowered by him. Nobody can offer prayers. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tar Pravartana. Kale Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And to spread the Sankirtan movement and to perform Sankirtan, to distribute books, or to just participate, even to go on Harinam, to do it properly, you have to be empowered by Krishna. It's not that, it's not some easy thing to do. Sometimes we think Harinam, I'll just kind of tag along and, sing a little Hare Krishna. But to do Harinam properly, you have to be desiring that these people out on the street will receive this holy name. And if we all have that consciousness when we do Harinam, then the Harinam will be so potent that thousands of people will be affected. They'll receive the holy name in their hearts by the Harinam. But if we go out just kind of entertainment or somebody corralled me into it, I was like on my way to take some Mahaprasadam and the Harinam. Prabhu, let's go on Harinam. Gotta go. No. If we go like that, then, hopefully the others will have the potency at least to carry me along and I'll get it in my own heart so that I can also participate. But that's Sankirtan. So to do Sankirtan, to do any service, to offer prayers to the Lord, to clean the Lord's, the temple's floor requires to be empowered to do it properly. Even Srila Prabhupada in the beginning had to teach the devotees how to clean a floor. They didn't know how to clean a floor. Because to clean the floor properly, you get down and you clean it very nicely. Of course, if we have a huge temple room, maybe we may not be able to do that, but everything was done. Everything Srila Prabhupada did was done with such devotion. The very little time I was with him, I was observing him, and I would watch him take prasadam. It was such a meditation. It's like he would take and he would look, and then he would look like this, and then he would, just like that. It was like a meditation, and we usually just shovel it in, and try to stimulate the taste buds, and it's also Krishna prasadam, But when a devotee actually is in the mood of seeing everything as an opportunity to glorify Krishna, even taking prasadam is glorification of Krishna. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they took prasadam, they would, practically speaking, after every mouthful, they would chant some verse, or they would say something about Krishna's pastime. Sometimes to take prasadam, they would take an hour and a half, 2 hours. Not because they were following the, good habits of chewing, or something, but because they were so the prasadam had such an effect on them that they just couldn't stop from speaking about Krishna. No. So this is the platform that we aspire for. No. That everything we do, cleaning the floor, sankirtan, dressing the deity, no, is imbued, it becomes thick with devotion. It becomes thickly imbued with devotion. We just like Rupa Goswami says even about chanting the holy name, that when one actually sees how merciful, no jane janita kiyad bir amritai, that when one actually realizes how much nectar there is in the holy name, when he just says these two syllables, it's overwhelming. It's like overpowering. Just like for us in the neophyte stage, it's difficult for us to chant because our mind wanders away. But for the pure devotee, it's also difficult to chant because they feel so much nectar that they go into Krishna's qualities and pastimes, and you know, they have to like, you know, everybody's difficult to chant, but their difficulty is on the other side of the devotional rainbow, you know, that they're so feeling so much nectar from Krishna's holy name. So that's what we want to achieve. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions the prayer from Krishna Karnamrita of Bilba Mangala Thakur, famous prayer. He says, Bhakti Twayi Stiratara Bhagavan Yadi Syad. That when one gets the opportunity to perform devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Daivena, by supreme destiny, otherwise by the mercy of the Lord, Yad Palati, no, Divya Kishora Murti, then his mind becomes absorbed in this beautiful, youthful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he, because actually he says it like that because that's how he saw Krishna. Bilba Mangala Thakur saw Krishna as a young cowherd boy. Actually, Krishna came to him as a young, he was blind. Krishna came to him as a young cowherd boy and would feed him and be with him personally. So he's saying this in his ecstasy. And then he says what Srila Prabhupada, the part of the verse, Mukti Swayam, Mukuli Tangjali, Sevatesvam, that Mukti folds her hands. Maya Devi becomes the servant of the Lord. I mean, a servant of the devotee. When that devotee is actually on the platforms, then she offers facility. You know? First of all, she offers many tests. When we're advancing, when we're trying to advance. But when we actually come to the platform of pure devotional service, she offers her help. What do you need? How much facility can I give you? And even liberation comes and stands with folded hands. But the devotee is not interested. No. The previous verse to this verse we're talking about, this is stated by Shukadeva Goswami, devotee is not interested in liberation. No. And what to speak of what comes after that? The next line, Bilba Mangala Thakur says that dharma arto kama gataya, no, that even dharma arta, even religiosity and even economic development or sense gratification, kama gataya na munaya pratiksha. That, and what to speak of the four goals of life, the other three, liberation and the other three, they're all servants of Krishna. Otherwise, there's no need to aspire for them, just like we read in the previous verse yesterday. There's no need to aspire for these things because they're readily available. Otherwise, if a devotee needs economic development, he will get it. No. If a devotee needs, and if he doesn't get it, he should understand, I don't need it. No. And if a devotee needs sense gratification, you know, meaning otherwise Krishna gives us sense gratification in the form of prasadam, in the form of kirtan, in so many wonderful ways. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what about recreation? A typical question when we want to enjoy, you know. You say, you know, eating, sleeping, recreation. What about recreation? How do we go about that? You know? And Prabhupada said, recreation, kirtan. You know? Yeah, so this is our recreation. You know? Otherwise you're doing heart service, then you go have a nice kirtan, then you can do some more service. You know? So, of course, people who have families and everything, they require some recreation for the children, things like that. But for brahmacharis, recreation means kirtan. And maybe an occasional swim or, you know, something. But this is our recreation. So, as Srila Prabhupada says here, all these things are automatic. A devotee doesn't even have to think about them. They come automatically. So just to finish Srila Prabhupada's purport here, and then we'll stop. No. While executing devotional service, one must be naturally inclined to serve Krishna in one of these transcendental relationships. That is the actual success of life. Bhaktisila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just to comment on that, he says in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that if we simply serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras, then all of the other rasas will be opened up automatically. Whatever, otherwise, whatever your natural inclination, just by serving Lord Chaitanya in Dasya Ras. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He's giving us this Dasya Ras to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of the Sankirtan movement. And if we do it, it's not like we have to go through some special process, you know, to, I'm kind of inclined to Madhurya Ras, therefore, you know, this Dasya Ras, not so interesting to me. No. Just by serving Lord Chaitanya's mission, then whatever relationship you need and whatever you aspire for, that will be opened up. No. So the natural inclination will come. That's my point. As Srila Prabhupada says here, the natural inclination to serve Krishna in a particular rasa that becomes attractive to us. Just like in the beginning of the, I think it's the, is it the eighth or ninth chapter, ninth chapter of 10th canto. No, it's describing Mother Yashoda churning the butter. No. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that anyone who aspires for, Vatsalya Ras can meditate on this verse. So, but that doesn't mean, okay, well, I think, yeah, I'd like some Vatsalya Ras. Let me meditate. No, it comes naturally, as Srila Prabhupada's explaining here. That is the actual success of life. For a devotee, to get liberation is not very difficult. Even one who is unable to establish a relationship with Krishna can achieve liberation by merging in the Brahman effulgence. This is called Sayujya Mukti. Vaishnavas never accept Sayujya Mukti, although sometimes they accept the other forms of liberation. It says sometimes. Sometimes they accept it because Krishna makes them accept it. Sarupya, salokya, samipya, and sarshti. A pure devotee, however, does not accept any kind of mukti. He wants only to serve Krishna in a transcendental relationship. This is the perfectional stage of spiritual life. So just a little point on that, of liberation. When Sri Haridas Thakur was invited by Raghunath Das Goswami to visit the meeting, his uncle and his father would have a meeting with the Brahmins. So he was invited, Raghunath Das Goswami had invited him previously, and then Gopinath Acharya, he brought him there. No, or was it Bhagavan Acharya? Can't remember. But anyway, he brought him there in that assembly, and everyone, when they saw the effulgence of Sri Haridas Thakur, they all stood up, and some devotees began to glorify him as being the Namacharya, that he was chanting 300,000 rounds every day. They said that he could chant the holy name even faster than Anantadev could speak the glories of the Lord. And they were all like overwhelmed. So they said, Haridas Thakur, please describe to us the glories of the holy name. So Haridas wanted to make a point. So he said, no, you're Brahmins, you're elevated Brahmins, I'm just from a Shudra background. No, you elevated Brahmins, please explain. So one Brahmin said, chanting of the holy name is so wonderful that it eliminates all sinful activities, otherwise makes you possibility to enjoy. And another Brahmin said, no, it's so powerful that it can give you liberation. No, subtle enjoyment, gross enjoyment, subtle enjoyment. And then Haridas said, actually, it doesn't really give you, this is not the goal of chanting. These are byproducts. This happens automatically. No, don't think that this is the goal. The goal is to achieve pure devotional service. No. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing here. Mayavad philosophers desire to merge in the existence of the Brahman effulgence, although this aspect of liberation is always neglected by devotees. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, describing this kind of mukti, which is called kaivalya, or becoming one with the Supreme, has said, kaivalyam narakayate. Becoming one with the Supreme is as good as going to hell. No. Actually, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur was so absorbed in the pastimes and the wonderful qualities of Mahaprabhu that he even said in one of his prayers, even worshipping Govinda is not as sweet as worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what are these other, you know, these other manifestations, Narayan, no, Rama, no. Of course, this is rasa. This is not, you know, he's not saying that there's any difference between one form of the Lord and another, but in this rasa of experiencing the munificence and the mercy that's coming from Lord Chaitanya's Audharya Lila, that he was just feeling so much bliss. So and kaivalya narakayate, liberation in the Brahman effulgence is hell. No. Tridashapurta kasha pushpayate. And achieving the planets of the demigods is just like a dream, almost a nightmare, no, for a pure devotee. No. We're aspiring for these things. And these devotees are cursing them, no, saying, this is, I don't want these things. And we're thinking, well, if I could get a bigger house or if I could get some more money, then I can really serve Krishna nicely. No. Just think, if I had a big house, I could have a big altar, and if I, no. So, sometimes we think like that. Therefore, the ideal of Mayavad philosophy, becoming one with the Supreme, is hellish for a devotee. He never accepts it. Mayavadi philosophers do not know that even if they merge into the effulgence of the Supreme, this will not give them ultimate rest. No, this is why a devotee really doesn't want liberation. An individual soul cannot live in the Brahman effulgence in a state of inactivity. After some time, he must desire to become active. However, since he is not related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore has no spiritual activity, he must come down for further activities in this material world. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aruya kuchtrena paramparam tata patantiro nadrita yusmarangraha. Because Mayavad philosophers have no information regarding the transcendental service of the Lord, even after attaining liberation from material activities and merging in the Brahman effulgence, they must come down again to this material world to open hospitals or schools or perform some similar philanthropic activities. So Srila Prabhupada couldn't resist giving a good kick to the Mayavadis. No. This is the nature of the pure devotees. He learned this from his spiritual master. No. Every time Bhaktisiddhanta, if you read some of the writings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spends almost as much time, no, speaking about the uselessness of Mayavad philosophy as he does speaking about devotional service and in his general teachings to the people in general. Because Mayavad, as Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said, that when I was a young devotee, when I first joined, I read about these Mayavadis, I thought they were a tribe in India, no, some indigenous tribe in India. But then I realized that I was a Mayavadi also. No. That Srila Prabhupada is speaking about all of us. So, no, we think Mayavad philosophy, why is it so bad? And all these people are nice. Yeah, they may be nice. There's a lot of nice people in the world. But unfortunately, they're Adanta Gopir Tamisram, that Vishatam Tamisram, that unfortunately they're heading toward a hellish existence. Being very nicely going down or going into another human body where they will have to go through the same thing. I remember the first book I read about Krishna consciousness, it said, Prabhupada said that who wants to repeat this material existence? And then I thought of all the things, even though they're insignificant, how I would never want to do them again, like falling off a bicycle, scraping my knee, smashing my teeth, all these, if you just think about it, who wants to, sometimes you think it's not that bad because we see people who are much more miserable than us, we think it's not that bad. But if you think about everything one had to go through in this life, especially when you're a little older, because you had to go through a lot more. Of course, when we're a little older, if many of our years were spent serving Srila Prabhupada, then we might think, yes, I'll be happy to come back to serve Srila Prabhupada. When we actually become free from material desire, then the idea of coming back to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission becomes very palatable. But until that point, Srila Prabhupada said, better you should want to go back to the spiritual world. If you actually come to the point of pure devotion, then you can think, yes, let me come back. But if we try to think that way beforehand, we may be praying, I want to come back and enjoy the same things I'm enjoying now in this world. And that's not a very good proposition. So, here, just to make the last point, that such a nice purport is so full of so many points. Srila Prabhupada says that they will not get ultimate rest. So sometimes a devotee has to be a little careful about wanting rest. Sometimes, because here we're speaking about pure devotional service. We're speaking about going beyond liberation. So sometimes even in our own lives and our own devotional service, we aspire for peace. Otherwise we're serving Krishna because we want to be peaceful. No. But Srila Prabhupada said one time that actually where do we find peace in Krishna's lila? No. He's always, even in Vrindavan, from 3 months old and onward, he's killing demons. He's fighting. The Prabhupada said in Vrindavan he's fighting, in Mathura he's fighting. What does he do? The first thing he comes to Mathura, he kills Kamsa. Well, the first thing he does is cut off the head of the washerman. And then after he does that, he goes and kills Kamsa. He kills the elephant, he kills Kamsa. And then he kills this one and that one. And then he goes to Dwarka and he kills, Prabhupada said, he's always fighting. Prabhupada said, therefore, we are servants of Krishna. We must also fight to establish devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada said, just like the Germans in World War II, here in England, they invented a big cannon that could shoot all the way across the channel. He said, they did not make this cannon for killing a mosquito. So Prabhupada was very proud. He was saying, so therefore they are criticizing us. They are attacking us. He was speaking about the, all these people attacking the movement. Prabhupada was actually happy. He said, therefore they do not consider us mosquito. They are using big cannon. They're afraid of us. Prabhupada said, yes, let's go. Let's fight these Mayavadis. Let's fight these rascals. Fight this demoniac tendency in the hearts of the living entity. Not that we just want to become peaceful. Sometimes you have to be peaceful. There's no doubt about that. We should do that when we're chanting the holy name. Then we should be very peaceful. Generally speaking, when we chant the holy name, it should be peaceful. Our mind is going 100 miles per hour. And then when we're supposed to be going out serving Krishna, then, now I want to be peaceful. I had a nice big plate of Mahaprasadam. Now let me lie down and be peaceful. So peace actually comes. Real peace means pleasing Krishna. That is the actual peaceful position. So I just wanted to make that little point. Because many of us are serving Krishna just because we're afraid of suffering. No, which is okay. It's okay in the beginning. But it should evolve into the point of, I just want to make Krishna happy. I want to make Srila Prabhupada happy. I want to make the Vaishnavas happy. No. Then we can understand that we're making some advancement when we actually think this way. So I'll stop here. Any questions?